All right. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you got your boy, Diamond Hands D. And today we got Luke and Tony. What's up, guys?
Hey, good morning.
What's popping?
Afternoon, whatever.
Oh, well, you know, it's the best week of the year. So Masters Week. Ooh. So we're going to talk about that today. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm not.
This is the Super Bowl of golf, man. Yep. That's how I look at it. I love it. I'll watch probably every swing from Thursday to Sunday.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I obviously love golf. I don't watch a ton of golf on TV. Sometimes at night I'll watch some of the replays, but the Masters is appointment television. You got to watch it all. It's just
I get
so
a
good.
Verbal beatdown every Sunday because I watch golf, and my wife's like, "This is the worst, most boring thing you could possibly watch."
You remind me of my grandfather growing up when I always stayed with him. You know, he'd turn on golf, and I'd be like, "What the hell are you doing? This is the most boring thing I've ever watched." But now, I guess I appreciate it though. Now,
yeah,
because I'm trying to get you
cultured.
Exactly.
Tony's given me some good pointers on how to swing, and he's also given me some pointers on some good lessons I need to take. So I'm getting into it slowly but surely.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, it's always good to start with some lessons, honestly, to build like a repeatable swing. So you're not just out there just hacking away every time.
Again, we've talked about this before, but every time I'm out there, my biggest issue is my cigars. You know, that's my biggest issue. Always having the cigar in my mouth.
Yep. It's a good place to have them.
Yep.
All right. So this week, got a couple good topics here. So obviously got to talk about Elon Musk and Twitter. Elon took about a 9% position, I believe, in Twitter. So that got the internet nice and toasty. Good news here. So we got a lot to talk about. Carnival posts the best booking week ever as CDC drops the COVID cruise ship warning. So hopefully we'll be cruising again soon.
My cruise planner won't leave me alone. So no wonder why they got the most bookings.
For dads like me, the Disney cruises, there's a new boat. I've been waiting to get on that one for a long time now. So we got to schedule something there. And then last but not least, we'll talk Masters. We'll talk about Tiger Woods and the shoe choice that he has. Yeah. And I also got some, you know, deep conspiracy theories about Tiger Woods playing Nike golf clubs back in the day. So we'll talk about that, too. So, all right, let's fire it up. Elon Musk and Twitter. So I saw, you know, it's kind of cool to see this stuff unfold in real time. I saw Elon's post about basically does Twitter allow free speech, right? That was kind of where he started. And then a couple days later, the news comes out that he's taken a 9.2% position in the company. But not only that, he'll also serve on the board.
Well, no, it came out that he was just a passive holder. And the next day, he's not. Like, that's what happened. And it's just unfolding.
And he also limited his amount that he can own. Because apparently, him being on the board, he can only own up to 14.9% of the company. I guess that was part of the deal.
Really?
So I think they're scared that he's about to just, like, buy up Twitter. Like, just buy it fully.
He's a very, you know, eccentric person, in my opinion. Obviously, he's brilliant, does some crazy things. He spends his money on things that other people don't. That's what makes him Elon, and that's what makes him a mad genius and however you want to describe him. But he's dangerous, in my opinion, with his social media posts. I'm not here to bash Elon, but like things that he's done have make me scratch my head. So the first thing was the Shiba Inu, the shitcoin.
Doge to the moon.
Right? The Doge, yeah. I thought it was a bad look for somebody to get on Twitter, someone that who said, "I'm not invested in this," and basically pump an unregulated asset. He made a lot of people money, and he made a lot of people poor, in my opinion. Because that coin 8x'd 800% in a month, and it proceeded to go down 75%. So there are some rich people, and there are some broke people out there because of that. And I don't know, man. Like he can't do that with his no stake in Twitter. He can't come out and start talking about what Twitter needs to do and how it's going to do it and pre-reveal stuff before earnings. Like, I don't know how he's going to handle this.
See, I have a crush. I have a crush on Elon Musk. I'm in love with this guy. So, two things here. One, he's using his money capital, aka power. Same thing. They're all three the same. Money, capital, power. To promote freedom of speech. To promote a limited government. I think when he was in California during the lockdowns, Cali was threatening to throw him in jail if he kept operating his factory or something like that. He basically said F you.
Yeah.
And he kept operating the factory. So
he's in again, Texas now.
Exactly. And that's why he's pro limited government. So he's supporting that. And he's pro capitalism because that's what's got him to the point where he is today, providing all the jobs, providing all the wealth, not only himself, to all of America and all the world, essentially. That's number one. And then number two, talking about your Doge, you know, Dogecoin yeah. and, you know, how he's using Twitter as an outlet and he's kind of off the wall sometimes. You have to remember, he publicly came out on Saturday Night Live that he had Asperger's, right? And he's always been trying to fit in. And I think he's trying to now socially kind of get out there with himself and try to get a lot of people to like him, kind of do these off the wall things to try to kind of get that crowd behind him that likes him. Because I think he's always kind of felt the need to try to always fit in. And I respect that. I absolutely respect that. I think that's what he's trying to do.
He takes it to the nth degree, man, but trying to fit in and trying to be like, he does it in a large, you know, a large setting on that Twitter.
An extreme setting. Like, yeah.
I don't even know how to really describe it other than we all know who Elon Musk is. You don't even need to own Tesla. You don't even know you don't even need to know what a Tesla is. You probably know Elon before Tesla
sure.
car. Right. But all right. Before Derek, just one thing I do have the one thing I do like that he's bringing to the table is like, he's bringing the edit button. I cannot spell. I'm terrible. Like all of that stuff. I'm glad it's coming. Let's hope it's coming, right?
Is the edit button actually coming?
He said in the next month or two, they're going to be, you know, trying it out. I think, you know, I kind of do like the thing where, like, if you post it, like, either delete it or you don't, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just caught in time, right? Because it's social media. But,
yeah.
I mean, I misspell stuff all the time, and I need that button.
Real quick, going off of that, though, the one thing I did see that I agree with is that there has to be, like, a time limit, like a 5-minute time frame to edit it. Because cool. If something goes viral, and then somebody goes in and edits the post yeah. to completely change something else.
Give me that 2 minutes. I need it.
I agree. I deleted so many tweets. I get it.
Yeah.
And I have to spend time to retweet it because I'm messing. I delete it.
Well, I copy it before and then I delete and then I repost. Okay. And then I correct the one thing.
I am against the edit button just for that. Just for that point. But if they do limit the time, yeah, I'd be cool with that. Mm-hmm. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I think Elon is... I think net is probably a good thing because right now there's really no way around it. Twitter censors stuff that is out there. You know, I don't know how a different way to describe it. And it was basically all the COVID stuff. They were taking it down, you know, blocking people, all the shadow banning, all that stuff. It's really just a giant mess. So I don't know how it could get worse with Elon. Then hopefully it'll get better and at least a little bit more transparent because they just kick conservative people off off the platform left and right.
But he's a board member and they don't have they can voice their opinion and can't really execute, right? So I mean, it's going to be a different role for him. So let's see how he gets some of this stuff.
Before we move on, I did see that I think it was Babylon Bee got like taken off Twitter. They got like banned.
Yeah, I saw that.
And apparently Elon Musk reached out to the CEO of Babylon Bee before he bought the stake in Twitter. And he was like, hey, did you actually get kicked off for this post? And it wasn't like anything crazy, if I remember correctly. It was just something like pretty conservative going against Biden or whatever it be. He confirmed it. Elon Musk confirmed it with the CEO. And somebody on Twitter tweeted at the CEO. He's like, did you buy stock in Twitter before it publicly became known? He says, no, I'm not stupid. That was my favorite tweet yesterday. But Elon Musk, it's not like he just did this out of the blue. He did his due diligence. I guess that's the way I put it.
All right, so Carnival posts the best ever booking week as the CDC drops the cruise ship warning. It seems to be, and there's some quotes in our little summary here, seems to be that cruising is going to be a thing again. I don't know if you guys have gone on cruises, but I've been on a couple, and they are a very good time. And I don't know why. It seems like people are either a cruise person or not a cruise person. There doesn't seem to be too much in between, but I really enjoy a good cruise ship, so I'm pretty excited about this. What do you guys think? Would you guys go cruising again anytime soon?
I love cruises. It's my favorite vacation, besides Vegas. Vegas and cruises are my two favorite vacations. Just because on a cruise, it's very affordable. It's like, for what you get with the entertainment, with all the all-you-can-eat food, and that's big for me. I'd probably pay for myself just in food. You've got, you know, the comedy clubs. You've got the casino there if you want to go gamble every once in a while. You get to go off these you know, unique places. I think it's all around my favorite vacation. I went on a cruise last August during, like, when COVID started settling down a little bit. There's still mask restrictions, but it wasn't that bad. But, you know, what I like to see is that everything is starting to completely go back to where it was. It's a slow process, but people are okay going on cruise ships now. People want to go travel around the world again. It's something amazing. It's a beautiful sight is what I'm trying to get at. Like, yeah. I love to see that. Like I said, my cruise planner won't stop contacting me. So they're going balls to the wall right now, like trying to get people to book cruises.
Yeah.
And they're giving out really nice deals. That's one last thing I want to say is they're even more affordable than they were because of the restrictions and they're trying to get track people. I mean, I barely gambled on the cruise ship last year. I think I gambled maybe like $400 or $500. Like, it wasn't much. I didn't put much in. Yeah. And I got like a free cruise out of it. Like, that's how attractive these deals are. And I want to go. One thing is, like, and I'll be honest, you know, they won't allow people that aren't vaccinated on the cruise. And that's one of the biggest things. I personally am vaccinated.
I personally am
vaccinated, but a lot of my family members and a lot of people I know aren't. So I don't want to just go on a cruise by myself.
Okay. So that is the restriction that they have.
That is correct. That is not lifted yet. So that is the one thing that really irritates me.
Yeah. I went on one cruise 20 years ago, right after college. The one experience I got is that, like, after the cruise, I got vertigo because we came back in like kind of a choppy water. But I think they're making the boats twice as big these days, yeah. So that you don't feel.
You didn't
that.
Get stuck in a hurricane though, like I did in August.
Right. Second thing is my experience on that cruise is that we stopped in Jamaica. I woke up late and I got the last cab. The cabbie was a little sketchy. I asked for some authentic Jamaican food. I ended up in a shack with a dirt floor and a three-legged dog in the corner. And that is a true story. I was kind of scared. I couldn't wait to get back on the ship. So that's my experience. But my buddy that it was a couple of us that went. The one guy, he ended up meeting his wife on the boat. So,
oh, really?
Scott.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I remember that trip. Yeah.
Now, here's my thing on the cruise. And I think this just goes in all travel. I don't think it's just cruise ships. Like, they posted it because it's big for them, but airlines, resorts, I think they're all going to have a stellar summer because there's the pent up demand and there's no more restrictions. And it is 2020 will be the year of travel.
2022.
I'm sorry, 2022. Yeah. 2022 will be the year of travel. And after that, it will not be because I feel that we're going to, people have pent up money. They have pent up demand. Once they get this one and done, it's done.
Yep.
Because it's all discretionary income, and discretionary income is getting eaten up by, you know, gas for our cars, inflation in general, food, you know, remember the crab index that I use at Costco.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everything is more expensive, and this is, I think it's a one and done kind of summer thing. And when the recession, you know, supposed, you know, like there, a lot of people are saying there might be a recession in 2023, when that hits, all this stuff is going to revert back to probably below the mean. Yeah. You know, it's going to be less travel and they're going to get even better deals next year. So
right.
Save up your money now, Luke.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. I think this is just a one and done.
Sure.
I completely agree with that. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So, you know, there will be some good deals though to be had, I think, especially for the cruise ships. So if you haven't checked one out, it might be a good opportunity to do so. One thing that I've been noticing when, you know, browsing vacations, seems like the old school airline fees have applied. So if you're trying to book out further than like 2 or 3 months, they jack those rates up because they don't know what the fuel prices are going to be at that point in time. So
We're talking about airlines real quick. I should have booked mine a month ago because I'm going to Vegas here in a month to talk at Money Show, the conference out there, and I haven't booked my flight yet. And the past 2 weeks, it's gone up a ton. Like, yeah. I don't know when to pull the trigger. Like, I'm one of those guys always trying to time stuff.
Yeah. This summer is going to be crazy
yeah.
expensive to travel.
I'm talking Frontier and Spirit, too. I know. Like, $400 for Frontier and Spirit.
I know.
I'm like, I don't want to pay $400 for the worst, crappiest seat you can get.
Yeah, you want to do Vegas pool parties. This is the summer to do it.
Yep. Right. So, yeah, I'll be checking out a cruise soon. But, yeah, the Disney Wish has been scheduled and canceled many, many times now. And they're just doing the 3-night cruise out of, you know, Port Canaveral. So I think getting all the stops on board is also an issue with different governments and things like that.
You know, different...
Yep. So hopefully
countries and stuff,
you know, hopefully they get with the program here so we can have a nice summer of cruising.
Cool.
Tiger Woods and the Masters. So for those of you who don't know, Tiger Woods was in a really bad car accident, nearly lost his leg. I don't know how near it was, but you know, that is the folktale going around. He played in an event as like a father and son event with his son Charlie, but was riding in a golf cart, you know, because he can't walk a full 18 holes. And if you've never played golf and if you've ever carried your bag for 18 holes, you'll understand, you know, it's not like a stroll in the park. It's, you know, you got to be in shape to be able to do that. I remember Tony and I tried to do that once. It wasn't our best idea. Tiger Woods and Nike, before we get into the tournament and make a few picks here. Back in the day, Tiger Woods obviously was Nike's big athlete, and Nike was trying to get into the golf club business. And I actually just heard this story the other day. So apparently Tiger had Titleist irons, right? He'd been playing Titleist irons his whole life. Apparently, they took those Titleist irons to the Nike factory and like took the Titleist words off and put the Nike swoosh on there. Yeah. And that's what he was been playing. That's what he played with.
It sounds really illegal.
Mm-hmm. That's I never heard that story. That is a conspiracy theory to yep. the. All right.
Okay. So, and you know, if you remember when he first signed, you know, he basically didn't use the drivers. If you remember the drivers, you remember the Sasquatch, the square ones. I had one of those. It sounded like an aluminum baseball bat.
Yeah. Yep. It sounded like you hit your golf club with like a dumpster. Like it's just this huge hollow sound. Like,
it was hilarious.
But I mean, the big thing with him this week that they're talking is like his brand with Nike and everything is that because of his injury, he had to switch shoes that made him feel more comfortable. And he switched to FootJoy. So, you know, how upset is Nike about that? You would have to think, right? And if I was Nike, I'd just be like, do what you got to do, man. Like, you've made us enough money. Like, if you can't wear shoes this year, cool, man. Like, just make sure you wear that hat and shirt, though.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. So how important are shoes on the golf course? Like, I understand traction.
You got to protect your feet, man. You don't want sore feet, you know? Yeah. So it's pretty important in my opinion. And then you also don't want wet feet. So if it's dewy, rainy, which it's supposed to be in Augusta this year.
Who's Augusta?
I'm joking. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, you want good shoes. And paying up for good golf shoes. Because, like you said, walking, Tiger's not going to be carrying his bag, but they're walking 7,500 yards. What is that? Like, that's like 5 miles, 4 miles, right?
4 miles.
So they walk everywhere? They don't use golf carts?
No.
Really?
I don't even think they have a golf cart at the Masters.
Probably because they don't want to make the course like...
There's cart paths. Like that is one of the nostalgic courses. Yeah, like gotcha. You only walk. There are no golf courses probably... at the golf course, except
how long has the Masters been around? Oh, geez,
forever.
I just saw a picture on Twitter of I forget the golfer, but it was from 1935. It was colorized. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So since the beginning of the 1900s, I'll say off the top of my head, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that one of the headlines, like in the news, is that. Tiger Woods shoe choice. Like, I mean, that's the interesting thing about business. It is a big deal. I get it. But like, it's interesting. Like, that's such a small thing, and it is a big deal, but it's such a, like, it's just what you, your appearance, what you wear, like, it's down to that level, like, yeah, for the marketing and advertising.
It's just Tiger and the Masters. Like, yeah. There is no other correlation with the Masters right now. There hasn't been for 20 years, and there probably will not be for another 20 years.
Yep.
Someone can win it 3 years in a row, and they're still going to talk, is Tiger playing this year? Like, yep. It doesn't matter. Yep. He's that
I mean,
guy. And that's why this year, I'm like, man, like, they're keeping it secret how he's hitting the balls. You know, Freddie Couples came out and said he's hitting it well in practice rounds. He's, you know, playing rounds with JT.
I mean, like you
Justin
mentioned,
Thomas.
Masters is like the Super Bowl of golf, right?
Yeah,
so it's driving
about it.
It's driving like a ton of revenue everywhere, like advertisers, yeah. Like people travel plans. Like Augusta, is in Georgia, you said?
Well, yeah. Derek, how many times you can only buy tickets or you can only win tickets? You can buy them on the secondary market, but Derek, how many years have you tried to sign up for Masters tickets?
At least 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, it's not a even, lottery.
Like, yeah, they're like, as soon as I hit enter, they're like, good luck next year. Like, it doesn't even register. So.
Yeah.
So who's
actually, you know, when after Tiger is done, because it affects the price, we have to plan a trip to go down there.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. I actually went to Augusta once. We were talking before this. Maybe we'll find the clip for our YouTube channel. But it was basically a guy talking about dads and talking about the Masters. And it was basically just me. And one of the clips was talking about the time that he went to the Masters. But I actually went to the Masters, too. In 2006, that was when Tiger Woods chipped in on the 16th green. Mm. And, you know, the ball kind of, you know, paused at the Nike swoosh and rolled right in. So it was.
Was he playing a Titleist ball and they whited that out and put a Nike swoosh?
Could have been. Could have been. Yeah, I would not.
I thought it was so. I started golfing last year. Like, you know, I think I talked about it before on the podcast. But when I first saw Titleist, I thought it was Fitliest. That's how I pronounced it.
All right.
Anyway, so, I'm done roasting myself.
All right. How about picks?
All
for
right.
Masters.
So speaking, you know, I'm kind of out on the how the golf odds work, but it's basically, you know, like the numbers represent if you bet $100, this is what you get back. And I believe Tiger was plus 500. Is that right?
Yeah, 50-1.
Yeah, 50-1.
Yeah.
So Tiger is 50-1. He's probably in the top third of the odds, and no one even knows if he's actually going to play on Thursday.
Right.
So that shows you something right there. My pick, I've been a big, it's chalk, but I've been a big Scottie Scheffler fan for a long time, and he's playing real well. Yeah. He's world number one right now. So it's not exactly a, you know, under the radar pick, but I really like his chances, and I'm a really, Patrick Cantlay. I'm a big fan of his as well. He's got the game for Augusta for sure.
Yeah, so. I have Cantlay in a pool that I'm in, so fingers crossed there. Scottie Scheffler, man, he's won like two or three tournaments this year already. He's nails, man. That dude really brings it. But I'm going to go with Justin Thomas. Mm-hmm. I just feel that it's his year. I feel that he's rolling the rock pretty well. I do like Cam Smith too. So those are kind of like my favorites that people have maybe heard of, and then maybe like some dark horses. So you got Joaquin Neiman. He's won already this year. He's dominated one of the tournaments he won. And then you got Corey Connors. He's kind of that real tech. He's not a long hitter, but he's very technical. He's sharp with his irons, and he has always, any tournament he's played this year so far, he's been in the hunt.
Tony's just naming off everyone. You know? No, I'm just kidding.
It's just, it's, I got, you got like those two people you've never heard of, and then there's two people you probably have.
Absolutely.
So, Justin Thomas, though, I think he's gonna deal.
Yep. Yeah, he's due as well.
I know two people. I know Tiger Woods and Rory, just because I think he was on the game. Think like
yeah, he had his own game. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm gonna go with Rory because I don't know if Tiger has it in him right now. So I'm gonna go Rory, but I don't have any fun details behind that.
Yeah, you know who is also due is John Rahm. That guy is really good.
I think he's just a favorite, like odds wise.
Yep.
But man, I don't know. There is so many. You have the best of the best.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is that there are. The cut is 50 golfers make it to the weekend. Mm-hmm. after playing on Thursday and Friday. And I think there's only like 75 golfers playing. So 25 will miss the cut. And there's at least 10 people that are like over the age of 60, 65.
And they're just past champions.
They're past champions and they just get a free ride every year. So they show up to play their practice round. And
in the short amount of time I've been playing, there's one thing I've learned. It's very easy to just have one little off swing, right? And maybe a professional doesn't have that, but there's been times, and again, I'm just a beginner, but like where I've been just rocking the ball for like 5-6 holes straight, and then the next hole, like just completely like
the difference like between you and them me and them is that when they mess up, their next shot is world class. Yeah. Like you and I, like, don't come out of the woods hitting it through a little, you know, through a little cubby and hitting the green. Like that stuff doesn't happen for us.
If
for
I can them. Put it in with one shot, I'm happy. I'm happy.
I mean, this guy's like, hey, I think I can get it over that limb. I just got to get the right trajectory. And I'm just like, God, man, can I even see can I see grass? I just need, like, give me an opening.
Yeah.
Size of a bus. I need that.
Yep. So, Augusta, it also marks kind of the start of spring, so that is good as well. So really looking forward to watching that this weekend. So with that, I think we'll close it down for the day. So thank you very much for joining us. If you have any questions or any topics for the show, please shoot us an email at info@swpconnect.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.